The FBI is having trouble doing its job under the shutdown. In New York, I'm Sabri Benishore, in for David Brancaccio, who's on assignment. The FBI Agents Association says the ongoing partial government shutdown is impeding the FBI's ability to do its job. The advocacy group released a collection of anecdotes from anonymous agents suggesting the lack of funding is causing not just logistical issues, but could create a huge backlog of problems for the FBI down the road. Marketplace's Erica Barris reports.
At a press event, Thomas O'Connor, president of the FBI Agents Association, said the failure to fund the agency
is making it more difficult for us to do our jobs, to protect the people of our country from criminals and terrorists.
Some of those difficulties include postponed investigations, dwindling supplies of DNA swab kits, and no money for confidential informants in ongoing drug or counterterrorism operations. Without payment, informants won't stick around, says David Shapiro, who teaches criminal justice at John Jay College and was also an FBI agent in the 80s.
We're not talking about a love-based, faith-based relationship here. It's purely monetary.
Michael German with the Brennan Center for Justice at NYU was an FBI agent during the weeks-long government shutdown in 95 to 96. He says that shutdown meant delayed trials because of
evidence not being processed properly because the staff isn't there, accounts being shut down because they're not being paid.
And when that shutdown ended, German says the ramifications lasted for years. I'm Erica Barris for Marketplace.
Volatility in markets just means how much stocks are vibrating around. The market had a wild December, calmed down in January, but volatility has been increasing lately. Let's check in with Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors. Good morning, Susan.
Good morning.
So we've seen volatility spike up a bit since the middle of the month. What might be driving that?
Volatility is starting to creep up again, and I think that's an effect of the earnings reports that are coming out. We are hearing some cautionary comments from management.
So it comes back to this narrative that's been emerging in the past 4 or 5 months of, are we going to get some sort of slowdown or even a recession in 2019?
The problem is we can't tell. We have mixed reports on earnings. Overall, I think the market's in a better place and a better emotional state than it was at the end of December when it had dire expectations. And so we've seen this nice bounce back in January. And I think the market has really come back with reasonable earnings expectations. But people are looking forward into 2019. They're very aware of the global problems. We still don't have resolution or clarity on trade with China. All that's having the market take a step back and really look at things.
Susan Schmidt, head of U.S. equities with Aviva Investors. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
I'm Shepard from Lincoln, Nebraska, and I listen to Marketplace several times, actually every day, because it's got the economic news and developments that are important to me. I donate to Marketplace so that it can be available to everyone, and I hope you'll be joining me in this effort. Thanks.
To join Shepard as a Marketplace investor, donate online at marketplace.org.
The World Economic Forum in Davos is well underway. One of its goals is to find common ground on global challenges. But increasingly, the middle ground appears a little harder to find on issues like climate change or trade, at least as far as the U.S. is concerned. Patrick Fowles is business editor at The Economist. Good morning.
Thanks for having me.
So let me just read something that The Economist wrote about Davos back in 1996, okay? It is a truth universally acknowledged that a horde of journalists expensively ensconced in a Swiss ski resort must be in search of news. If none is discovered, it must be invented. That is why many readers of some newspapers may be under the illusion that something occurred this week at the annual meeting of the World Economic Forum in Davos. Not much did. Has anything changed in the past 20 years?
I guess some of that is correct. I mean, it continues to be an interesting way to take a snapshot of what a lot of business people and investors around the world think at any given point in time. And there is some value to that. Whether or not it's earth-shattering news, I agree, one can debate.
The World Economic Forum is proposing to tackle some of the big questions facing the globe. I mean, is there not value in tackling those things, whether it's the new economy or climate change?
Yeah, look, I would say there's two different purposes to it. You know, one is, if you like, a kind of policy led thing. So a lot of people appear and they attempt to come up with solutions to things like climate change, world poverty, and so on. And the other function is really as a kind of business forum where people do a lot of private meetings, deals get done, and there's really a chance for business people to get together and chew the cud.
The theme this year is this new era of globalization, but there is a rising tide against globalization. You actually have written recently about another alternative, something you call regionalization. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Yeah, so I think the overall picture is the trade war's been going on for 2 years now. What's very clear if you talk to the business people is that delayed reaction is now beginning to bite. So long-term investment by companies in foreign countries is falling quite sharply. At the same time, there is a kind of emerging pattern, and it tends to just be that more things happen within regions. So Donald Trump, for example, has struck a new trade deal to replace NAFTA. Similarly, the European Union, in terms of trade, finance, investment, is coming up with new frameworks. And then you've got in Asia, China, with its sphere of influence gradually increasing, and it's also trying to pass a trade treaty. So the overall picture is just that in the absence of global leadership, the alternative sort of plan B seems to be regions and companies tending to invest and operate a bit more within their own region.
Patrick Fowles is business editor for The Economist. It was good talking to you.
Thank you.
In New York, I'm Sabri Benishour with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.